Upheaval, Reckoning, Chapter 26, Justifications. It was already evening when Lioncourt returned to headquarters. The remainder of the day had not been as interesting as he had hoped it would be. Instead of enjoying a leisurely afternoon getting to know the element of generosity a little better, the details of somepony else's mission kept him busy. He smiled and walked closer when he saw a grey earth pony mare fiddling with the door to her room. "Octavia, how was your day?" he asked. Octavia seemed startled at first. When she noticed who it was, she dipped her head slightly. "Mr. Lioncourt, welcome back," she said.
"Mister?" Lioncourt asked. "Now where did this formality come from?"
A look of confusion crossed Octavia's face.
Well, you are a senior member of our group, aren't you?"
"Seniority does not rate very high among our group's concerns, Octavia," Lioncourt said. "You may have noticed that we don't carry ranks. The Thorns stand as equals with only Black Rose as our leader. So please, my friends call me Lion for short."
All right then, Lion.
"Now, may I ask where you're going?"
Octavia looked away briefly.
"I'm going to tell some of my family about my new job, and possibly some of my old bandmates if I could find them."
Lioncourt nodded.
"Of course," he said. "But the hour has grown quite late, and the ponies you'll be speaking with are likely asleep."
Octavia looked around.
"Is it that late already?" she asked. "It's hard to tell with these halts."
"There are devices in your quarters that indicate the time of day," Lioncourt said. "I'll help you with them if you like. For now, you should get some sleep. I imagine this is a lot to take in."
"You're right," Octavia yawned, then opened the door to her quarters. Before she went in, however, she turned to face Lioncourt again. "Lion," she said hesitantly.
"Yes?"
"So, what instrument do you play?"
Lioncourt raised an eyebrow.
"I dabble a bit in piano and violin," he replied. "But my music is for mere recreation. It's certainly not worthy of being mentioned alongside yours in any discussion."
Octavia closed her eyes and inhaled deeply.
"Then why recruit me?" she asked. "I had thought at first that the Thorns was a band of sorts, but those weapons around your belt and the way Miss Sablesteel was dressed just a few hours ago. Is this some kind of private fighting group? I can't..." Her voice trailed off.
"Your concern is understandable," Lioncourt replied. "Know that we recruited you for your musical talents, so you are expected to perform those talents, nothing else. The Thorns are not mere fighters. We are an elite group that takes care of most of our mistress's affairs, so the talent pool is certainly diverse."
Octavia let out a relieved sigh. Lane's smile widened a bit. This mare was certainly no fighter. He knew that the moment he had spotted her in that café. Still, Wasinger picked her, so the inherent talents to wield it must lie within her. All she needed was a gentle nudge.
"But what is Black Rose's goal?" she asked.
"Nothing short of Equestria's glory," Lioncourt replied.
Octavia stared at Lioncourt for a while. Eventually, she returned his smile.
"I'll just rest for tonight, then," she said.
"You mentioned Sable," Lioncourt said. "Is she here at the moment?"
"Yes."
Lioncourt bowed one more time and let Octavia go back to her room. Despite his weariness, he did not head towards his room. He knocked on the door. When no pony answered, he pulled out his own key and entered anyway. Sablesteel's quarters were easily the biggest in the hall. They were also second only to Longstride's when it came to lack of luxury. A laboratory took up three quarters of the room. Here, Sablesteel plied the craft handed down to her by her grandfather. Vials, beakers, and other sorts of paraphernalia adorned several tables, each one meticulously labeled. One area of the room held containers for various live snakes, spiders, and other poisonous creatures. Another had a stand which held her gear. As far as comfort was concerned, there was a bed by one corner and a nightstand. Lioncourt shook his head at the simplicity.
At least it was a step up from the rug that Longstride used. At the center of the laboratory was Sablesteel herself, making adjustments to her Forelec devices and replacing its used-up poison cartridges with fresh ones.
"I'm busy," Sablesteel said.
Without even looking, she waved a hoof dismissively.
"I imagine you would be," Lioncott replied.
He walked into the room and stood just a little behind her.
"So busy that I didn't expect you to be back here so quickly."
Sablesteel snorted.
"Neither did I. That pink pony is a volatile one. I expected to scare her, but not that much. Now I don't even have to follow up. She's probably seeing me everywhere without my help."
"The Chosen are more sensitive than you think," Lioncott said. "Of course, this means that there really is no need for you to actually kill her loved ones, right?"
"I might, just to spite you for your constantly bothering me about it," Sablesteel replied.
She pressed a button on the Forelec device, causing a blade to spring forth. She inspected the piece, making sure that it was still razor sharp and free of any notches or cracks.
"I said that I wasn't making any promises. I might decide to perform a little corrective surgery on some baker's underbite, or try a new formula on some random rock farm."
"I'm noticing a distinct lack of smiling on your part, my dear Sable."
Sablesteel put down the Forelec device and stared at the table.
"You know that I have done a lot of horrible things to a lot of ponies, Lion," she said.
"More so than any of us," Lion replied. "You do have the highest kill count in our group, and that's without bringing in non-ponies."
"But each one of those targets shared one thing in common. They brought it upon themselves, one way or another. They were a danger to Equestria. They got on Black Rose's bad side. They were idiots."
"True," Lioncott said. "And Pinkie Pie?"
"Pinkie Pie doesn't deserve this,"
Sablesteel replaced the Forelec device on its stand.
"She's not a criminal, or a spy, or even an inconvenient pony to have around. She's just some farmer's daughter who happens to be the element of joy. The Black Moon Blades reacted to threats. They never..."
Sablesteel caught herself and snorted again.
"The Black Moon Blades died along with your grandfather, Sable," Lion said softly. "We are the Thorns, and we do as Black Rose commands."
"I know," Sable replied. "It's just... assassinating some traitor is a lot different from scaring some mare witless in order to suck all the joy out of her life."
"And yet our tasks are graver now than they have ever been," Lioncott said.
"Don't mistake my musings as traitor talk, Lion," Sablesteel hissed. "I'm not like our mistress's spineless brother. Just because I'll make some noise about it doesn't mean I won't skin every foal in the Heartland at her command."
"No pony doubts that," Lioncott said, his tone lightening again.
"No pony better,"
Sablesteel muttered. She walked towards Lioncott.
"I should be going then," Lioncott said. "We both need our rest."
"You're not going anywhere."
"Oh?"
Lioncott looked at Sablesteel in askance. She shoved him on his back and onto her bed.
"You think you can just walk into my room and lecture me?" she asked. "You've pissed me off, Lion. You and that wretched pink pony. I'm taking it out on you. All my work will suffer tomorrow."
"Well, we can't have that," Lioncott said.
His horn glowed briefly, making sure that the door to the room was locked.
"I suppose I'll take one for the team."
Sablesteel placed her forelegs on either side of Lion's head. She fixed her eyes on him intently, letting some of her mane droop past her and brush against his face. Lioncott inhaled deeply and licked his lips. The pungent odor of poisonous gas, harmless at this point, still clung to Sablesteel's mane and coat. Though she had likely wiped herself down, she was still grimy and she stank of blood and dried sweat.
"One,"
Sablesteel hissed.
She pressed her hips against Lioncott's sword belt and unbuckled it.
"If you tire out at one, I'll gut you."
The magical light that illuminated the room dimmed in response to Sablesteel's will. Black Rose's light enchantments were tailor-made for each Thorn's room. Black Rose's magic was far from Lioncott's mind for now, however. He matched her stare, admiring how her green and blue eyes stood out in the dark.
"Until you're satisfied, then," he said.
It was already evening when Applejack walked the halls of the royal palace on her way to the audience hall. She had hoped that the palace would be winding down at this point. Instead, the palace looked even more alive. The staff were whispering worriedly among themselves while a group of legionnaires walked down the hall urgently.
Applejack!
Applejack turned around and spotted Twilight Sparkle walking towards her.
Hi, Twilight. You need something?
Twilight saluted.
I just wanted to talk, Vice Captain, she said.
Applejack cringed at the gesture, then looked around her. She drew Twilight aside so they could talk in private.
Look, Twilight, I know we're in the same squad and all, but there's no need to get all uptight with the rank, she said. We're still friends, all right?
Twilight smiled.
I was just teasing, Applejack. Congratulations are in order, I suppose.
Applejack scratched her head in embarrassment.
Yeah, she mumbled.
She was still dazed by that development. A few hours earlier, Vanguard had asked to speak with her privately.
So what's this about, Vanguard?
I'm not going to mince words over this, Applejack. I have a nurse pony skirmisher spot in my squad, and I want you to be the one to fill it.
Well, this is so sudden, I'm flattered and all, but aren't there legionnaires who can't fight even better?
Don't sell yourself short. Special Operations has eyes all over the Legion to check on candidates, and you're not anywhere in the bottom of our list. And there are other circumstances.
That's because Twilight joined up, isn't it?
Interesting. How'd you know?
Just a guess. It sounds like something Twilight would do.
She did. That's one more reason. You're still listed as my vice captain. I don't think there's any need to correct that.
Well, sure. You look like you really need the help, Vanguard.
Vanguard raised an eyebrow.
That was fast, he remarked. You know you could say you need to think about this some more.
I thought so too, Applejack replied. I guess I just can't say no when you ask me all serious like that. Besides, you'll need help reining Twilight and Scarlet in.
Vanguard smiled and moved closer, patting Applejack on the shoulder.
True, he said. I can always count on you, can't I?
Applejack shook her head off the recent memory. Twilight was already staring at her suspiciously.
So, what do you want to talk about, why? She asked.
Well,
Twilight hesitated. For a few tense moments, Applejack didn't know if she wanted Twilight to continue or just give up.
Applejack, tell me honestly, do you like Vanguard?
Of course I like him, Twy. He's a nice stallion and...
The withering stare from Twilight halted Applejack in her tracks.
You know what I mean, she asked in a low tone.
Applejack looked away, fidgeted, then simply let out a long exhale. Of course it would come down to this. Rarity had warned her already, but it still caught her unaware.
Well?
Twilight asked again. It was Applejack's turn to fall silent and mull over her next response. There was no trying to sidle out of this conversation. Any more attempts would surely anger Twilight, but what was she supposed to say now? She had never prided herself in being able to figure out her friends. It was Rarity who was able to tell things about some pony from just a few signs. She had always been reliant on the assumption that if some pony had a problem, they'd say so honestly. These days, however...
No,
Applejack mumbled. As soon as the answer left her mouth, she was already questioning why she had said that. Was her answer really no? Rarity didn't believe so back then. Part of her wanted to take the answer back. Twilight only scrutinized Applejack further.
Really?
She asked.
You're making that face again, Applejack.
It was then that Applejack realized that she was scrunching her lips together and glancing about. She pressed both front hoofs against her face and rubbed. When she was sure that her face was blank, she faced Twilight again.
No,
she said flatly. More protest welled up inside her, but she was more resolute now.
And so is she.
Rarity's words echoed inside Applejack's mind. Dense as she knew she was, even she could tell now that Twilight felt strongly about Vanguard. Twilight's intensity made it all too clear as to how invested she was on the answer. Rarity was right, their harmony was in danger and she had to do something. Twilight hesitated when she repeated her answer. Instead of subsiding, however, the doubt and protest continued to build until she could feel a physical ache in her chest.
Well, okay, Twilight said.
She didn't look completely convinced, but she backed off.
Is there something else, Twi? Applejack asked. She tried to sound emotionless, but her voice came out strained from all her internal effort. I sort of have somewhere to go.
It was Twilight's turn to look surprised.
No, she said. I'll see you later, Applejack.
She walked off in a daze. With Twilight gone, Applejack pushed everything that had just happened away before a wave of difficult emotions hit her. She was going to meet with one of the royalty. She didn't want to do so, looking as if she was about to break down any minute. Half an hour of waiting passed before a royal guard approached her.
Your audience has been granted, Legionnaire Applejack, he said. Prince Tirado is waiting inside.
Applejack let out a sigh. Of the three royal ponies who could have met her, it had to be Prince Tirado. She still remembered the last time she had an audience with him. Prince Tirado enjoyed making ponies squirm. The doors to the audience hall opened, revealing the magnificent sight of the three thrones. Applejack's jaw dropped. This wasn't the audience hall she remembered. A throne of white marble trimmed with gold dominated the central position of the hall's far end. Behind the white throne hung a great banner that bore the symbol of the sun. To its left was another throne, this one of obsidian and trimmed with silver. The banner behind the black throne bore a crescent moon. Opposite the black throne was a third one. This one was a plain throne of polished granite with a gray circle on its banner. Stairs led from the thrones and joined together at the center of the hall. A familiar booming voice resounded within the audience hall.
Some ponies admiring my hoofwork, I see.
Applejack quickly focused her attention towards the gray throne and watched as Prince Tirado descended the stairs and walked towards her. She quickly went down on her knees and bowed her head.
Thank you kindly for taking time to see me, Your Highness, she said.
I always have time to see my favorite, almost dead messenger, Tirado replied.
As he approached, Applejack wrinkled her nose a bit. A slightly fishy smell emanated from the prince.
Do you have another one, Applejack? Does Mother want me to kick Luna in the face this time?
No, Your Highness, Applejack replied. I haven't almost died again. It does have something to do with the Queen.
Tirado raised an eyebrow, prompting Applejack to start. At the end of her story, he walked even closer and examined her.
So you want to know more about the special gift that my mother gave you, hmm? Well, Her Majesty is more of the sort who unlocks the gifts you already have instead of adding things. The most likely scenario is that she provided you a means to tap into your Elements of Harmony's more individualized power. If I looked hard enough, I think I can sense it within you and see how you can bring that out. Is that what you want, Applejack?
Applejack nodded. His magic enveloped her in an instant. A few minutes passed until Tirado let go. She waited anxiously while he simply frowned and stared at her.
You're sure you actually created this shield you said you did?
Tirado asked.
I've thoroughly checked and I don't see any particularly strong power coming from the Element of Honesty. In fact, I'm barely sensing the Element of Honesty at all.
Applejack could only stare blankly. He might Tirado's as well have hit her heart.
The tree and smashed her face with it.
She lowered her head.
I'm sorry for wasting your time, Your Highness, she said.
You didn't,
Tirado replied.
Don't think you're failing yet, Applejack. I have a particular fondness for honesty and loyalty. Among the Elements of Harmony, their brightness becomes truly glorious when put to the test.
He eyed her carefully.
Confront whatever's bothering you and we'll see what my mother expected.
Applejack remained kneeling for some time. She had no reply to that. Vanguard Clash strode swiftly through Canterlot's jail. Around him, royal guards and visitors alike moved out of his way after one look at his grim expression and bulky armor. Whatever pleasant mood he was in upon Applejack's quick agreement to join had evaporated when he received word of what his other squad member had been up to. He had expected Scarlet Rabbit to be excited by all the new experiences upon reaching the Heartland. Scarlet had nearly talked his ear off about solid, low-altitude clouds and liquid rainbows. All of that was fine. Getting jailed with Rainbow Dash for causing the largest drunken brawl in Canterlot was not.
I'm here for Scarlet Rabbit and Rainbow Dash, Vanguard told one of the stationed guards.
They nodded and escorted him through the cells.
The Canterlot Jail used to be a small, barely used building before the Legion arrived. Now a lot of its cells held ponies who couldn't handle their new boozing habit, legionnaires who couldn't maintain discipline, and, most disturbingly, ponies who disturbed or avoided the draft. He came to the end of one hallway and looked into one cell. Due to so many new cases, Canterlot Jail was overcrowded and constructions were already underway for additional space. Along with several other ponies was a red Pegasus stallion and a rainbow-maned Pegasus mare. Both of them were lying on the floor, trying to sleep off a hangover.
Scarlet!
Scarlet Rabbit got up and looked at Vanguard, who gestured for him to come over. He obliged and put his face near the bars.
Captain, he said, I thought you'd never come.
Vanguard sniffed once before his forelegs shot out, grabbing his subordinate by the head and slamming it against the bars.
Who are you and why are you pretending to be Scarlet Rabbit?
He growled.
What are you talking about?
Scarlet mumbled between the bars.
It's me.
Vanguard slammed Scarlet's head a few more times until his nose was bleeding.
Where are they?
He asked. Scarlet merely smiled and started chuckling. Vanguard tossed him aside, then turned towards one of the royal guards.
Send word to both Unicorn Guard Captain Shining Armor and Pegasus Guard Captain Brightshield. Legionnaires Scarlet Rabbit and Rainbow Dash are currently missing and must be found at once.
They saluted and ran off to do as he said. He glanced back at the imposters. Their deception discovered, they didn't bother maintaining their disguising enchantments. He considered questioning them, but it was unlikely that they knew anything at all. Half an hour passed after Vanguard's visit to Canterlot Jail. He was now looking at his new squad. It was late in the night, but both Twilight and Applejack were awake and alert when they heard that some of their friends were missing. He glanced over at his new vice-captain. Applejack was clearly distracted. He was going to have to talk to her about it later.
Vanguard, what's going on? Twilight asked. What happened to Rainbow and Pinky?
I've got preliminary reports already, Vanguard replied. Pinkie Pie has been spotted in Ponyville and is staying in Sugarcube Corner. I asked Nightcanter and her squad to head over there and pick her up. As for Rainbow...
Vanguard paused. He could only assume that Rainbow Dash and Scarlet Rabbit had been abducted. Almost as soon as he sent word out, conflicting reports reached him. Apparently, in addition to causing a massive barroom brawl, Scarlet and Rainbow were also seen talking about flying off to Cloudsdale, making their way back to the barrier lands, flying off to Ponyville, robbing a local bank, and all sorts of incidents.
Rainbow Dash and Scarlet Rabbit are currently missing, he said.
Both mares gasped.
Do we have any leads? Twilight asked.
That's a problem, Vanguard replied. We have too many leads. Whoever has taken them has scattered about 100 decoys to cover their trail.
Applejack stomped her hoof against the floor.
In the meantime, who knows what they're doing to Rainbow, she said.
This is Black Rose's work, Twilight added.
There's no doubting that, Vanguard said. Both of you get ready. This will be our first mission together.
Okay, so the Legion has finally noticed that Rainbow Dash and Scarlet Rabbit are gone. Yeah, and apparently Applejack is now vice captain and Twilight is part of Vanguard's squad. I don't know what to think about that. I mean, okay, Twilight is a very effective unicorn mage. She is very powerful. We know that she has quite some magical power under that horn. But I don't know. I mean, I have already asked some of you if you would take Twilight into your squad, and I said that I would, and yes, I would, but Applejack, I mean, yes, she's strong, she's dependable and all, but I think she lacks a lot of experience. I mean, she has that magic lasso. Maybe that will come into, well, maybe that will be useful on special operations missions, but I think that in a large battle like, I don't know, against like 100 Woven maybe, if she's through that and like, I don't know, and lassoed all 100 Woven with that, I don't know, that certainly would be useful.
Okay, want to know your opinion about that, and sincerely yours, Visual Pony. As always, stay tuned.